The history of rock and roll.
...1965 was the year for Them, a scruffy-looking Irish quintet headed by Van Morrison. Later, Morrison went on his own. In 67, he was still noticing eyes, those of his brown-eyed girl.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Down in the hollow, playing a new game. Skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping. And you, brown-eyed girl, and you, my brown-eyed girl. And whatever happened to Tuesday? It's so slow.
Rock and roll, like pop music, is influenced by factors other than hit records, which come out of nowhere. Fads, movies, television, and personal appearances can create hits or boost promising records higher in the charts. Paul Revere and the Raiders have been helped by both television and by extensive concert tours. Lead singer Mark Lindsay talked about their travels and the problems of saturation for the history of rock and roll.
We have played about every puddle jump, whistle stop and major city of any importance in many minor cities in the last 4 or 5 years, about 4 or 5 times. Everybody's seen us, and not that they wouldn't come see us again, but everybody's seen everybody. And all of a sudden, the United States, the world, populace is kind of disenchanted with rock and roll concerts, I think.
Just you, sweet girl, not a friend. It's just like
history of rock and roll.
Go away from my window, leave at your own chosen speed. I'm not the one you want, babe. I'm not the one you need. You say
following the Byrds and the Motown groups as a 1965 answer to the British sound came Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Turtles, and the Beau Brummels, whose 65 hit was Laugh, Laugh.
Don't think I'm being funny when I say you got just what you deserve. I can't help feeling you found out today. You thought you were too good, you had a
The rockumentary picks up on the sound of the Yardbirds next.
The history of rock and roll.
The documentary featured Bo Diddley's I'm a Man earlier in the two-hour blues segment. The Yardbirds refurbished the song with feedback and fragmented tempos for their 65 hit. They were still hot in 1966 with another unusual sound, The Shapes of Things. The Rascals. Then the Young Rascals first appeared on the charts in 1966. Guitarist Gene Cornish remembered their start for the history of rock and roll.
Well, the group formed in February of 1965, and there was the original fellows in the group, as there is now, and it was Felix's concept. Felix conceived the group and the idea of making the sound that we did, which based the organ as the basic instrument in the group, because there were no organs really in groups, and the guitar and the drums as a rhythm section.
On a Sunday afternoon.
Recording sessions are funny. Be very honest. And something always goes wrong. I guess at everybody's recording session, it never comes out exactly the way you picture it. It either comes out better or worse. You know, sometimes just different. We actually make our records with fun in mind. We enjoy every minute of it, first of all, unless it comes to a point where you're bucking up against a stone wall and you cannot solve the problem, whatever the problem is, so then you just stop and come back again the next day and work on it again. We enjoy what we're doing.
Yeah, I admit you got the biggest brown eyes and you know how to part your lips to tantalize. Sure. Well, baby, I ain't gonna eat out my heart anymore.
Rascals guitarist Gene Cornish talks about the evolution of the group.
One of the turning points, it was going from hard, sweating music to a little more sophisticated, another departure, in other words. We feel that, and we also experience a different departure every time we make a record. We've always stressed and strived for something new, no matter what the case may be, good or bad. It was always different than the last one. We can safely say that we've never repeated ourselves.
It's a beautiful morning.
The history of rock and roll returns with the 1966 phenomenon which separated the kids from the goats among rock fans.
The Monkees are on stage at the public auditorium in Cleveland, Ohio, playing and singing their hearts out. The Last Train to Clarksville is happening right now. You're hearing it exclusively on Boss Radio. You would not believe the sight on stage. The Monkees don't just stand up there and sing and play. They have a fantastic light show. They have a rear projection screen with some new innovations in technology never done before by any act. This is truly, ladies and gentlemen, the most fantastic act in show business. I am seeing it. You are hearing it right here exclusively on KHJ.
The history of rock and roll.
Fans are really, if they're really, you know, like, are excited at the fact about me, you know what I mean, they won't try and hold it in, they will let it out, and that was the way it actually ran out. And then they came and I shook hands with them and said, hello, it's nice to see you, and they were out the door again, they were 13-year-old girls. That's one kind of fan. The other is the one that just, you know, screams at the concert, and I like that because they're letting it, you know, they're really letting it out. They're not really worried about whether that French scene screams or anything. Just let it out.
Davy Jones of the Monkees talking about rock and roll fans. The Monkees revealed a split between two segments of the rock audience. The difference came roughly between the over and under 20-year-olds, fans and listeners. The Monkees may have inspired so-called rock underground stations, which appealed to the older faction of rock fans. But the youngsters shrieked that the Monkees were the greatest group ever and bought enough records to substantiate the wildest enthusiasm. The Sopwith Camel clicked in 66 with a good-timey vaudeville record. Though they were from San Francisco, they sounded more like the Lovin' Spoonful than the Grateful Dead or Jefferson Airplane.
Hello, hello. I like your smile. Hello, hello. Shall we talk a while?
Sound was ripening into identity, the Byrds and the Mamas and Papas emerged as two supergroups from Los Angeles. Mama Cass Elliott remembers a historic recording session for the history of rock and roll.
We recorded them all in the same session. We recorded about five songs in the first session. Go Where You Want to Go and California Dreamin' and I Got a Feeling. And I think we did Monday, Monday at that session. These were all tunes that we had worked up when we met Lou Adler, when we first met Lou Adler. These were the five songs that we sang for him.
Byrds, Association, and Love and Spoonful were labeled as folk rock, a category wide enough to include Monday Monday and Summer in the City at the same time. John Sebastian, lead singer for the Love and Spoonful, talks about Summer in the City, one of the few rock records featuring the sound of an air hammer.
Summer in the City is a groovy song because it wasn't my favorite song of all, and because it was at the same time the most popular song that I ever had part in writing. I wrote that with my brother.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking standing on the sidewalk hotter than a match head. But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. In the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Just like the heat, it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city.
Box Tops are next on the Rockumentary with a 1967 smash.
The history of rock and roll.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back to my baby.
Box Tops set no trends, nor have they altered the course of rock and roll, but several of their records have been perfect examples of the elemental force of unpretentious rock music. The Letter is one of them. Music with a message was commonplace in 67, but some interesting experiments were still going on with the form. Roger McGuinn of the Byrds recalls an autobiographical song the group recorded with some help from Hugh Masekela.
We were looking through Teen Magazine or Teen Saturn, one of those magazines, and noticing the Monkees and Paul Revere and all the people, the new people at the time, you know, we were in it, and we weren't, and we had occupied the pages of all those things for a long time, and we were saying, wow, you know, gee, I guess we've really faded out of the teenage thing, you know. And somehow it came out, you know, like, wow, rock and roll star, you know. And anyway, Chris had this melody, you know, that was like that. Bum 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 bum, you know. And I said, let's make it an African sound, you know, because like I really dug Miriam Makeba at the time, and he messed Kayla was around. So we started messing around with it. We got them tuned down, and then we just put the words to it, you know. So you want to be a rock and roll star.
Plastic.
Meanwhile, Jefferson Airplane got off the ground in 1967 and gave the San Francisco Sound its first national hit. Bill Graham, former manager of the Airplane and proprietor of San Francisco's Fillmore Auditorium, talked about the changes in the San Francisco Sound and rock generally.
The basic difference between then and now is that, unfortunately, it has become a listening scene rather than a dancing scene or a community. Well, it's a community thing, but people come on down to listen, whereas 2.5-3 years ago, whoever the group was on stage was in actuality a backdrop for the physical movement, for the gyration. In other words, sure, it was groovy that the Airplane was on stage, but the kids would walk in and say, "Dig, man, the Airplane's on the stage, out of sight," and then the Airplane could be playing the Hoochie Coochie Waltz, but the kids would dance and sing along. The tragedy has been that in the last two or three years, there's no more underground, really. Everything has been kind of overground. It's a big, big billion-dollar industry. But more important than anything, rock became, and it still is very much, the voice of the new, whatever you want to call it, the youth, revolution, whatever. And you now read feature stories in Time and Look and Newsweek and Life about the headline groups. So it is now important what they are doing. It is important to the mass. And if it's important to the mass, it becomes conversation. And if it is conversation, then people have to be knowledgeable about it. And you cannot become knowledgeable by going to a place and dancing. You have to know what those lines are and what is he wearing, what does he look like, and what does he do on the stage. You have to look and you have to listen, and therefore you can't participate. And that's a tragedy.
One pill makes you